Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you.
This is Steve Dale's Other World. Viva Mexico! My guest is Ana Sofía Lenxener, the Midwest Director of the Mexican Tourism Board. Ana, you know, people who know me know that I love Mexico. And what I often say, and you alluded to it at an event that I was honored to be at a couple of nights ago, and we've all heard the term mi casa, su casa, which grammatically, I guess, should be mi casa, tu casa, but that's beside the point. It is kind of like that. It's not, yes, I love the beaches. I love the food. In January, coming from Chicago, where I live, I love the sunshine. But more than anything else, to me, it's about the people. It's about the culture. It's distinct. It's different than America. And I will tell you, I get such a warm feeling when I go to Mexico. For me, and I am not Mexican, but for me, it's like going home. And I feel that way because I am welcomed in that fashion.
Hola, Dale. Well, that's a wonderful introduction, and I believe that we have achieved our goal with you and your family or whoever you've traveled with to Mexico. We love to have people as our guests, as if they were in our home.
That's true, though.
It is. Well, Mexico is our home, and everybody that visits our country is always, always welcome, because we definitely see tourists and all guests or visitors as people that would want to experience either food, cuisine, relax, their wedding, or any special occasion with us. And the fact that people choose Mexico is important to us. And we like showing how important it is to us by having you feel at home and embracing you with a warm hug. I'm sure you know we're huggers by now.
Yes.
and so that's basically our goal, having people feel at home, comfortable, and happy.
How many tourists come to from America? Do you know how many go to Mexico every year?
From the U.S., it's fortunately been an increasing number over the past couple of years. I can tell you that to the Cancun airport alone, we receive more than 4.2 million Americans a year. So that's just one airport of the 36 we have in Mexico with international connectivity to the U.S. And last year, we received 39.9 million visitors to our country, which places us, hopefully, in the seventh or sixth worldwide spot. Today, we are confirmed the eighth most visited country in the world. So 39.9 million visitors definitely know why they're coming back.
You know what, though? Those numbers are really interesting to me. And to Mexico, tourism is very important, increasingly important. I mean, when you talk those kinds of numbers, we're talking about something that is economically very important to the country. You know, but I've talked to you about this off the air. Every time I go to Mexico, there are people that say, I'm worried you're going to come back alive. And also, they're concerned about the food that I eat. So I want to talk about the safety issue first. And certainly, there are some issues. But I would argue, unfortunately, travel anywhere in the world today, and there are safety issues. And if you go from Chicago, where I happen to live, to New York City or Detroit or Philadelphia, and I'm not picking on any of those cities, there could be safety issues. You know, it's just a sad reality of the world today. Also, what people forget is Mexico's a big country, so just like America is. So if you get stuck in the wrong place at the wrong time, unfortunately, you could end up with a problem. But that's true in this country. It's true in Mexico. It's true throughout most of the world.
Yeah, that's right. I I get a lot of calls of people that are worried about safety or have heard something that was said by, I don't know, maybe a neighbor or a friend. And the only way that I usually answer is asking people to bring their common sense with them when they travel. And as you said, whether it be Mexico or any other country in the world, it's important to always be on guard.
But when, I think I agree. But I think Mexico kind of gets a bum rap in a sense, because if something happens anywhere in Mexico, it's blown out of proportion. I don't know why. And if it happens in London, if it happens in Tokyo, if it happens in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, it's not blown out of proportion. It might not even make the news. I don't know why that is. Do you feel the same way?
Well, first of all, I feel that happens to also come with how close we are as nations. So the United States and Mexico historically have been very close, and we love to be that close to the U.S. and that we are relevant to you. But you're definitely right. If something happens in the northern side of Mexico and somebody doesn't want to travel to maybe the southern side of Mexico, that's like the distance between LA to New York. So you wouldn't be worried about going to New York City if there was an issue in LA or vice versa. So I always try to encourage people to learn a little bit more about the destination they're visiting geographically and also per capita. So if you're going to, I don't know, 6 million inhabitant people, you can't really expect there to be a zero crime rate, because that's just pretty much, as you say, the way of the world right now, unfortunately, is not 100% safe. So that's why I always say, bring your common sense with you. Do what you would do at home and don't do what you wouldn't do at home. Just like I would never, I don't go to a bad side of town while I'm here living in Chicago and by myself drinking with friends and not being aware of where I am. Well, I would never do that. Just like you should not do that in Mexico or anywhere you travel.
Yep. And the point of this isn't to go into depth about that or those concerns. The point is to celebrate Mexico. And you know, because so many news reports are about only sort of those really, in truth, not frequent news stories. They don't happen every day. And I think that's part of the reason why they make the news, too. The definition of news is something that's newsworthy. If it happened every day, we wouldn't be hearing about it as often, as if it hardly happened at all. And I don't want to debate back and forth how often it happens or doesn't happen. Overall, I don't think there's any doubt that, again, if you use some common sense, you plan ahead about where you're going, Mexico is a pretty safe place to be, and I would argue potentially safer than this country, depending on where you are. That all aside, I want to talk about undiscovered Mexico. So many people know about, you mentioned Cancun, and so many people know about Cabo and all of the big tourist destinations. But there are other places to go in Mexico as well. And some of those are really hidden gems. We've discovered a few of those, and incidentally, we feel as safe as can be. And in some of those places, as we'll find out, in fact, there are mostly expats, Americans and Canadians, who live there in surprisingly large numbers. But let's talk about some of those hidden gems.
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. So many people in Chicago, of course, know our sun and sand destinations very well, but we also connect to other destinations. From Chicago's airports to Mexico, there are 14 different destinations you can fly to direct. So this means that it's not only Cancun, it's not only Los Cabos, Puerto Vallarta, Ixtapa, Huatulco, which we definitely connect to direct, and they're very well known. You can also fly direct to Zacatecas, for example, or Guanajuato and visit the city of Guanajuato, or the number one destination in the world by travel and leisure in 2017.
Which was what?
San Miguel de Allende.
Which I happen to know fairly well. So you can't fly directly. I want to talk about San Miguel and Guanajuato, which is not only the state I believe it's in, but there's actually a city. The capital city is called that.
Correct.
Both great destinations. So I want to talk about both of those. So Miguel de Allende, you can't fly directly into, can you? You have to fly through León or potentially Mexico City and then drive from, but you're shaking your head no.
We have direct flights to the Bajio Airport.
Where's that?
Which is located exactly between the city of León, the city of Guanajuato, and San Miguel de Allende. That would be the closest airport to fly into. So again, that's Bajio Airport. And from there, it's a 40-minute drive to León, Guanajuato, and San Miguel de Allende.
Okay, I want to go through all those cities. So León is a big, fairly big, actually, industrial town. Not necessarily a tourist destination, but the other two are. So yeah. let's talk about those.
So Guanajuato is the city itself is a World Heritage Site. It's very European style, very Italian, French, and it's also very heavy on the arts. This was a very privileged community in the 1930s, so it has a lot of history. This is also where Diego Rivera was born. So there's the house of Diego Rivera where you can
and
see.
And who's that?
Diego Rivera is Frida Kahlo's husband.
Well, people may not know.
Yes, of course. He was one of the most important muralists in the world. We actually have one of his murals here in the Midwest in Detroit. There was one in New York, but he was such a politically controversial man that the president at the time asked him to take it down or modify it. He would not, so they ended up tearing it all down. Which was pretty, it was a big shame because he is definitely an artist that defined an era for muralists. So you can visit his home, you can see his artwork, murals, pieces, as well as a couple of Frida pieces. And
I know this, don't yell at me. I know who Frida is, but people may not know, so explain. And probably
Kahlo.
She's one of those folks that if you see the art, you may recognize, oh, I know that art, but may not know the name of the artist.
Yes, Frida Kahlo is one of Mexico's most iconic people, and right now I believe she is also a fashion symbol since she's been taken from anything from Vogue or Harper's Bazaar. I know there was a Louis Vuitton-inspired collection on her, and many, many other artists have been doing the flowers around their head or her famous eyebrows that are now in such in fashion. So,
what eyebrows are those? I'm pretty ignorant about eyebrows.
She had very lush and full eyebrows. So that's definitely something that's trending. And she used to be the expression of Mexican contemporary art at the time. So the magenta colors with lush green flowers. She did a lot of self-portraits and a lot of animals while she was painting.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has a wonderful movie starred by Salma Hayek.
Yes.
So I guess lots of people saw that. And that's pretty close to reality. And Diego is in it, of course. But in Mexican history, up until recently, Diego Rivera was the superstar and Frida was his wife, and now it's the other way around. So good for Frida.
Okay, we were talking about Guadalajara, the town. Why would someone want to visit this town, which incidentally also is filled with young people? Very vibrant town, a lot of college students there.
Yes, it is the hometown to one of Mexico's most prestigious universities, the Universidad de Guanajuato. And it hosts a lot of carnivals and festivals, so it's very common to walk down the street and see Estudiantina, which is part of our Spanish heritage, where you see people dressed as medieval times, I guess that's how you would call it, with strange guitars and singing and dancing around, and you can literally just join and keep walking with them, which is called a callejoneada, coming from the word callejón, which means little alley. So you go from little alley to little alley.
And it literally would mean little street, right? If you translate it. Yeah. See, I'm learning.
So you go from street to street, stop in historic and interesting part of towns, and they will tell you the story about that part of town through music and dance. So it's lots of fun. It's definitely something for the whole family. And it's also a destination where you can see the Mexican, European, or Spanish specific fusion anywhere from architecture to cuisine and in the actual art in the streets, because every single street is protected. It's a World Heritage Site, so it is as it was hundreds of years back.
And as are the colors. So the colors of the buildings themselves, I think there's a certain color palette for the city center that the buildings have to follow. And we were up, because I've been there, and we were up on a hill way overlooking the city when we saw the Mummy Museum, which is one of the highlights for those who are interested in mummies. But the view is spectacular. But you see all these amazing colors from way up high. It's a great view. And then when you're in it, it's kind of a good feeling.
Yes, Guanajuato is such an iconic city for Mexico as well, because during the independence, that is where we began our independence from the Spaniards. So the monument you're mentioning, or the view from up high, is El Pipila, who was the courageous man. He used to work with quarry stone. So the Mexican army wasn't being able to go inside the Alhóndiga of Granaditas, or the place where the Spaniards had all of their arms, rifles, and food supply. So they were being attacked and they had no arms to protect themselves. And this man, El Pipila, took a huge quarry stone and walked all the way to the front door of La Alhóndiga, where they had all of these provisions and arms, and opened the door. So that's why they keep this monument overlooking the whole city. After he opened the door and I think he lit them on fire. After that, then the Mexican army or the locals could go in, get rifles, get food, and eventually win Mexico's independence 11 years later.
Yeah, it's a very historic town, but we should get on to the next, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. So Miguel de Allende, you mentioned, which is kind of right there. So if you go to one town, I think you should go to both.
Absolutely. They're just a short drive from one another.
And Miguel de Allende has, I'm guessing, but it's about, I believe, the entire population, 30%. Are expats from here or Canada?
Yes, that is correct. It's the second largest expat community in Mexico.
What's the largest?
It's in Lake Chapala. It's a community called Ajijic, and it's right outside the city of Guadalajara.
Ah, is that near the mountains or?
It's a valley.
Okay.
And it is the largest lake in Mexico, so climate is year round from 65 to 75, and that's year round.
Pretty cool. All right, tell me a little about that town, and then we'll go back to Miguel de Allende.
So, Ajijic is an expat community.
Is it a good place to visit?
It's a spectacular place to visit because food is incredible. And
okay, I'm there.
We've embraced our expat community in such a way that it's very, I would say, tropicalized Americans and Canadians, where you will find an amazing waffle and pancake house, for example, right beside a chilaquiles breakfast place. And then you'll see something like an art club. And then next thing is a little store. So the small town is very picturesque and holds activities for both Americans, Canadians, and Mexicans. And they all coexist in a beautiful way, and everybody just became a local. And as you know, we embrace people coming to Mexico, and we're very proud of that community and how much culture, art, and how well people live there.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've loved to go there at some point. They're supposed to have like beautiful churches. Do I remember reading about it correctly?
There are a couple of churches. Chapala has always, Lake Chapala and around it, has always been comprised of small towns.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is like a pueblito.
A little town.
A magical town. Because San Miguel de Allende is also a magical town. The Mexican tourism industry denominated 111 magical towns up to now. And each one of them can only be a magical town if they have something unique that you cannot find anywhere else in the world, and something happening every single day of the year. So if you go to Ajijic, you're bound to see an art exposition or musicians in the plaza or a gastronomic fair, just like you would in San Miguel de Allende or Tequila or any of our 111 magical towns.
So where would you fly in to go to Ajijic? Did I say that right?
Guadalajara.
Okay. Now, going back to Miguel de Allende, that is a magical town in so many different ways. And you mentioned the word food. I think of Miguel de Allende.
Yes, absolutely. San Miguel de Allende has had an incredible flourishment in the past 10 years. This is also in a great deal due to the amount of expats that have recently moved there. And just like Ajijic, San Miguel de Allende has embraced the expat community, and together they've formed an incredible artistic and gastronomic scene. Chefs that are in the San Pellegrino top 50 list or that have Michelin stars over the world.
It's true, yeah.
Have moved to San Miguel de Allende or have opened a restaurant in San Miguel de Allende. But what I find very unique about the town is that when you're strolling around these cobblestone streets, you don't realize that you're surrounded by so many different things, because you would have to open doors to see what's inside.
Explain what you mean. I know what you're talking about, but explain. So one thing is you can't have the commercial signage that we're used to seeing in Chicago. No way! That's not allowed, because it would take away from the picturesque kind of beauty of the town. But moreover, explain what you mean behind open doors.
Absolutely. So when we see these towns and their facades and their cobblestone streets, we feel very proud of it because it's part of our heritage, and that's why we have passed the according laws in order for that to remain the same until the end of time, I hope. But so that you will not see a sign, for example, for a Starbucks, you will not see a sign for a bank, you will not see a sign for absolutely anything that's outside
Though there are Starbucks there, though. There are
yes.
banks, of course.
Absolutely.
But, right, they don't have the commercialization that you would here.
No, and you can stroll the streets and possibly never encounter a commercial sign. But if you look closely, everything is in there. So where it be the local bakery that you would just... And everything is... All doors are usually open. So if a shop is open, if a bank is open, if an art gallery is open, the doors of the actual place will be wide open and people can just stroll in and out. And that's the spirit of San Miguel de Allende. You go around, everybody's friendly, everybody's welcoming, and you are free to experience whatever you feel like doing that day.
And great places to stay. And it's true throughout Mexico, but I'll use that town as an example. Great places to stay, from upper-end Marriott types, you know, all the way down to bed and breakfast, to now tons of Airbnbs.
Yes, actually, San Miguel de Allende has some of the world's most renowned resorts. Like, their Rosewood property is absolutely stunning. One of my favorite Rosewood properties in the world, for sure. And they also
have... I have to travel with you, I think.
Yes, let's go. Let's do it. They also have boutique properties that are incredible and host these amazing restaurants like Hotel Boutique Matilda or Le Hotel, which also hosts a tasting room for one of the most prestigious tequilas in the world, Casa Dragones.
What time? I'm there.
It's by appointment.
I'll make one.
So we have to make an appointment for you. Casa Dragones is a local tequila to Guanajuato. As you know, tequila can only be made in 5 different states in Mexico in a certain region. It's very much like champagne. It can only be called champagne if it's made in Champagne, France. And for us, it can only be called tequila if it's made in the Bajío area of our country, which is the Center Pacific, and only 5 states.
Mm-hmm.
So Guanajuato is one of those, and they make fine tequila. Casa Dragones is one of those. It has an extraordinary legend to it, but you'll have to go there to find out.
Okay. So I want to cover more territory, though, and I don't want to run out of time. You know, one place I want to ask you about that's sometimes overlooked and... Again, people have concerns about, so I want to talk about it, is Mexico City. So here is this giant city, cultural mecca, you know, for not only Mexico, but this part of the world, I would argue. And people either discount it because there's no beaches or because they're concerned.
Yes, Mexico City in the 70s and 80s probably went through a very dull and dismal moment where there was a lot of issues, and people were basically taught not to go to Mexico City, and that sort of stayed and stuck with a lot of people until now. But the reality is that Mexico City today is a vibrant city with so much going on culture-wise, and it is, of course, one of the largest cities in the world. And, for example, it's right after London. It has the most museums in the world. There's constantly music, entertainment, culture. The gastronomic scene is incredible. Anything from a restaurant like Pujol, which is one of the best in the world, to a fun night in Xochimilco, which is where you basically hop on a little boat, a handcrafted boat with colors, and go through the channels that the Aztecs used to go through and stay there, get a mariachi band, and have fun. So there's anything from high end to culture and arts. And also, don't forget that the Aztec pyramids are there. They're right beside Mexico City in the state of Mexico. And that archaeological site is much larger than Chichen Itza, for example. Hmm. And you can climb on the pyramids and tour around them. There's a museum on site. So there is a lot to see.
Would people feel comfortable? So obviously, there are lots of direct flights. It's a world-class city to Mexico City. Would people feel comfortable? It's a crazy airport. I've been in it. So if you could find your way out of the airport, I tell you, it's huge. It's enormous. But if you can find your way out of the airport, people feel comfortable.
Absolutely. It's just like any major city in the U.S. You can Uber your way around, which is my preference of transportation. And it's all about the neighborhoods. So choose a neighborhood, go there for lunch, walk around, and it has gorgeous architecture, a lot of French influence in Mexico City. And another thing is that they have an extraordinary webpage and app. So you can find things to eat, where they have Divi Bikes, like we have here.
Sure.
It's called their version of Divi Bikes. So you can bike around the neighborhoods and then put them back and keep going. So it's a very user-friendly city. People are scared because it's very big. But what I can tell you is that in a city that big, you only see a couple neighborhoods and that's it. And then you have to come back to see the rest.
Okay, we have time for one more. So give us one more sort of hidden treasure.
Well, I would definitely have to talk about Guadalajara.
Uh-huh.
In the state of Jalisco, and I'll tell you why.
Because of the song?
Also because of the song. The song was obviously inspired on the city, but there's a lot of things you can do if you arrive in Guadalajara. Guadalajara is the second largest city in Mexico. It's called the City of Roses because it has so many roses down the streets, and it's very decorated in that way. It has incredible gastronomic cuisines, but most of what you know of Mexico comes from Guadalajara. So mariachi comes from the state of Jalisco. So we have mariachi music, tequila.
Oh,
so the magical town of Tequila is a 40-minute drive or a one-hour train ride from the city of Guadalajara.
And by the way, you know what? If you've not been to Mexico, you've not heard real mariachis. So at some of the Mexican restaurants in Chicago, or we happen to be based in Chicago, this podcast is, but anywhere in the U.S., they come in, they do fine, you know. And in some of the tourist spots, same thing. But I will tell you, I've been privileged to hear the most amazing mariachi music, and it's completely different than what I call tourist mariachi.
That's true. So mariachi music, the Mexican national sport, which is charrería.
What?
That's like a Mexican cowboy.
Okay.
That also comes from the state of Jalisco. And the tacos and gorditas and all of these local foods that then got transformed into Taco Bells of the world. But the originals are from Jalisco.
Uh-huh.
So it's a place to really encounter traditional and authentic Mexico in a very cosmopolitan experience. Why? Because you have everything you might want from a modern city, and it's still the home of all of these iconic things. So you can go to Tequila for a day and visit the distilleries like José Cuervo or Herradura. You can even do that in a 1930s inspired train tour and come back. You could also go to Ajijic and Lake Chapala for a day and come back. You can also see Tlaquepaque, which is where most of the blown glass and clay pottery comes from in Mexico, and do a little shopping here and there.
You know, and we're just touching on, you know, because there's so much. So there are also the nature-inspired sorts of things that people don't talk about for Mexico. They may talk about for other parts of the world, and rightly so. But I'll tell you, Mexico has an enormous, a long list of things. I know there are trips people can take to see the the migrating monarch butterflies, just to see the butterflies. And you see hundreds of thousands of these butterflies. Mexico still has jungles, and they have eco-tours where you could see monkeys and parrots and all those animals that are protected in these lands. And it's not only the land that's protected, it's increasingly the oceans that are being protected too. And the wildlife there, they have whale-watching trips, of course. And along the way, you might see some porpoises. At Acamal, you could swim with the sea turtles, which I've had the privilege of doing. I mean, there are so many. We're just touching on it. It's a big country. There's a lot to do. And you just announced, again, just by coincidence in Chicago the other day, the new tourism campaign for 2018 and beyond. What is that?
Yes, that's right. The campaign Viajemos Todos por México, which translates to Let's All Travel Through Mexico, is our new campaign. It's something that we're very proud of because it targets Mexican Americans or Americans with Mexican heritage, as well as our Latino brothers and sisters, because we believe that we share a heritage and that that heritage is for all of them to rediscover. We have to remember that the migrant community came here in search of a better life, and some of them never went back. Or if this was your grandfather or your great-grandfather, you've heard some stories about Mexico and back home, or what they used to do, or where they used to come from, and then probably you've been to our beaches. But to go back to Mexico, to discover your roots, to be close to everything that we share and that's actually theirs too, is such an amazing, I would say, initiative. And it's also our way of a birthright campaign.
There's one video that you showed that I just loved, because it showed us Americans being brothers or sisters to this country that's always been to the south of us. And it is that we have so much in common. And as I said at the very, very onset, it's the culture that attracts me and the warmth of Mexico. The website to learn more would be...
it's visitmexico.com.
That's pretty easy. Visitmexico.com. Ana Sofía Lanzanier. Did I do that right?
Yes.
Close enough anyway. Thank you so very much.
Muchas gracias.
De nada.